In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The divine liturgy that we do together, here, now, is done together along with all of those who do the divine liturgy everywhere in the world. It doesn't matter if we begin at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 9:30. Other places in the world, the time differences make a difference on the clock as far as when the divine liturgy begins. But when we begin the divine liturgy in each of those places, whether it's here or in Dallas or in New York or San Francisco or Kiev or Belgrade or wherever the divine liturgy is done throughout the entire world, we are entering into a divine liturgy that is eternal, that goes on forever. It began when Christ returned to sit down on the right hand of the Father in our humanity. He had become incarnate, became one of us, and in a body like ours, he destroyed the power of death for all human beings who unite themselves to him. And when he ascended in a humanity, a human body that was perfect as God meant the body to be from the beginning, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, there had always been gathered around God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of the angelic hosts. There had always been the praise of God that comes to him throughout all of creation, except that this earth that he had created, its voice fell silent when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, because it is only through a human being that all creation can praise God. And so God came into the world, took our humanity on himself, destroyed the power of death, he returned to sit at the right hand of the Father, and the voice of creation was again loud in the praise of God at the throne of God. The divine liturgy began then, when all the voices of creation were given voice through the one perfect human being, Jesus, the Christ, the new Adam. And at Pentecost, he began to gather all of the human beings together as members of the divine liturgy, so that they could be part of the choir. They could do the things that needed to be done in all of the places of the world at those different times when the divine liturgy is commenced in the world. And whenever it is begun in the world as we have begun it today, we join our voices along with all of those eternal voices of all of the saints gathered around the throne of God. And through Christ, their voices, the voices of all of the saints, praise God. That divine liturgy of praise, which is our life, is a never-ending life. When we were baptized into that life of the praise of God by all of the things that we do in this world. We became part of those who participate along with the heavenly host and all of the saints. Whenever we begin the divine liturgy and raise our voices up to join along with theirs. The divine liturgy is an eternal praise of God, an eternal communion with God. When we're first introduced to the divine liturgy and we're not used to standing for the time of the divine liturgy, we get a little bit of that taste of eternity, and the sense that this will never end. Or if we go to a hierarchical divine liturgy or to a service of vigil, we have the sense that this is a world that I have entered into, and well, if we can maintain our focus on participating in that service through the words that are being sung and being spoken, we have the sense of things coming together in praise up to God. One thing after another is mentioned in all of the litanies. Everything is called upon from God, that we need the grace of God in order to be able to live our lives in this world. All of the saints are mentioned, and all of their lives are described in ways that point and focus on those particular specific things about that man or that woman that became a way of praising God. And so we participate in that eternal glorification of God. And we participate too in the food that we receive from the hand of God here at the Divine Liturgy, so that we can go out into the world and continue the celebration of God by loving others. Whenever we find someone who needs something from Christ, they can receive that from Christ through us. Whether it is physical food, or whether it is some kind of encouragement, food, the encouragement that people need in order to be able to deal with the difficulty of their lives. Whenever someone is thirsty for the Holy Spirit of God, we can give it to them. Christ says, I hungered and I thirsted, or I was alone, and either you fed me, you gave me to drink of the Holy Spirit of God, or you stayed with me so that I was not alone in the prison of my loneliness in the world. You didn't leave me to be in isolation in the world. You did that for me, for Christ. You did it along with me. You were my presence to those who needed me in a time of special loss in their lives. Or, on the other hand, those of us and times in our lives when we turn aside from someone who needs something from us, who needs encouragement or food or to be sustained in some way. And rather than do that, we do maybe the opposite. We see someone who is in need and maybe it looks like a victim to us. This person is weak. I can be strong. I can take from this person who has need. And we refuse to feed the one who is in need. We refuse the one who is thirsty for the Holy Spirit, even though we have been baptized into Christ's life, and we have his life to give to others. Today, we're thinking of the time of the last judgment, but every time we encounter another person, we're confronted by these two alternatives. Either we feed them from ourselves, we slake their thirst by giving them of the Holy Spirit through ourselves, because we are united and at one with Christ, and the life that we have in us is his life. Or we take away their loneliness and let them know that they are not isolated, that they are our brother and sister, at one with God through us in Christ. We are the sacramental presence of Christ in the world as Christians. That is the life that has been restored to us. That is the life that has been returned to us. That is the only life that we have to live in the world. That is the only meaning that our lives have, is to live life in that way in the world. When we look at the icon of the Last Judgment, we are looking at an icon of the Divine Liturgy. The apostles are there. The saints are there. Jesus Christ is enthroned forever in that icon. But this is a special divine liturgy, a moment in the eternal divine liturgy that is depicted in this icon. It is the time when, during this eternal divine liturgy, Christ separates those who are his true communicants, those who actually share his divine life and have been sharing his divine life with others in the world, the sheep of his flock. And those who look like sheep and are indistinguishable from sheep, except by the shepherd. He knows the sheep. He knows those who are pretending to be sheep. He knows those who have fed others. and those who have denied them food, or even taken from those in need instead of feeding them? What is it to live the life of those who are called goats? The goats are those, the Blessed Theophylact says, who live in the high precipices, where life is dangerous and exciting, and there's always the chance that you could fall. But they are adventurous loners who enjoy the risk, feel like they don't need others. Life is about myself. Life is an adventure where I take advantage of all comers and risk everything to my personal advantage. And if I go among the sheep, I go among the sheep in order to do my own thing, have my own way, show others how significant and important and different I am, to be boisterous and loud and take advantage of others and pretend to have a significance that has nothing to do with Christ, but something to do with those angels that turned against Christ and built themselves up and felt a sense of power and authority that has nothing to do with God, but is simply claimed for oneself. They have already fallen from the grace of God. The goats are those who are unable to receive communion from God because they receive it for themselves alone. They delude themselves, and they think that we can live lives of isolated individualism, when the truth is that God created us as individual human beings so that we might unite ourselves to others, and others might have the advantage of whatever skills and talents and abilities to feed and to give drink to those who need in ways that are specific and particular to us. And so we have our individuality, but our lives belong to others, not to ourselves. The true sheep take no thought of any of those things. They don't have to worry about what their talents or their abilities are. We have the specific talents and abilities that we do, and if you're engaged in using them to feed others, to slake their thirst, to let them know that they are not alone, but we are all together at one with God through Christ, you're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about how special you are, what abilities you have, what you can do that others can't. That's the difference between the sheep and the goats. In this divine liturgy, at the last judgment, when the sheep and the goats are separated, there is a place where those who have pretended to be part of the flock are sent. They are sent into the river that, as we heard this morning, it was read in the hours that passes before the throne of God. That river is shown in the icon of the Last Judgment. It passes before the throne of God, and right there where Christ is, there is life in that water. It has the golden light of the presence of Christ at the beginning. But as the river goes further and further away from Christ, as the life of that river goes further and further away from Christ, it darkens. It turns red and fiery. And those who are not the true sheep, Jesus says to them, "You have not fed me among the least of these. You have not given me the drink that I needed." The compassion and the love of a human being, one for another, you have not fed me by giving that to others. Depart from me. They are cast into that river. It is the river that St. John, the evangelist, speaks of in the book of the Revelation. The river that goes down, winds around, and fills the lake of fire that is called hellfire. That is the judgment that we bring upon ourselves by either sharing the life that God has given us to live with others by giving them the sustenance of our own talents and abilities and our own love and compassion, or denying it to them. That is the standard That is the criteria. And here, before we come to next week's time of asking one another to forgive, we have to reflect on the standard, on the criteria. What are we asking others to forgive us for? We have lived the lives of goats among the sheep. And while enjoying the presence of the rest of the flock, inwardly or outwardly, some are so good at doing this that others don't even realize that they may feel like something is wrong, but they don't realize that something is being taken from them rather than given to them. We live these lives, and if we ask God to forgive us for having done these particular things when we do them, then those features of a kind of goatish self-satisfaction and vanity and selfishness, they are smoothed away from our features. And we rejoin the flock as the true sheep of Christ, who come to him for communion in order to give that communion with him to others. We think on this now so that we can realize that the living of our lives are those moments that prepare us to be recognized as either one thing or the other before Christ, when it will be obvious that we belong one place amongst the true sheep or the other place in that river that leads down and away from the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ that is in that river is the source of the pain, because we know, we can see, when we make ourselves conscious of the ways that we've missed the mark, it is God's love that gives us the pain, that makes us realize that we have not lived our lives as we ought to live with others. And next week, we will ask one another for forgiveness for having offended them and trespassed against them in exactly that kind of way. If we have not lived lives of purity and holiness, the life of the presence of Christ in the world, then every single one of us has that confession that we have fallen short of the way we could have lived because we have Christ's life in us. We ask that other person to forgive us for not having made this presence of Christ in the world, in this flock here at St. Timothy Orthodox Church in Tekoa, a presence of Christ that shines forth so brightly that it can't be ignored amongst the rest of the people who live in this place. It requires this repentance of us, that we are enabled to prepare for the great Lenten spiritual reaffirmation of the love of paradise more than our love of this world. At the beginning, we should recognize that the Lenten effort that we make is not a loss of all of the best things in our life. The Lenten effort is an affirmation of all of the best things in our life. A sorting out where we are able to judge, as Christ will judge us at the end. We are able to judge and separate in our own lives those things that are most important, those things that have to do with the love of God and the love of others, and the cleansing of our inner lives, the affirmation of the virtues, and the beginning of the doing of the virtuous things toward others, and putting on the other side, away from us, those departures from virtue. We separate them within ourselves, and we affirm all of the good, all of the holiness, all of the love of God, so that by the time we reach mid-Lent, we will, even in our bodies, be able to see that there is a change, and we will go on and purify our lives and our spiritual effort together as members of the body of Christ, the flock that belongs to him. And so this is a positive effort that we are preparing to make. It begins with understanding ourselves what the standard and the criteria is, and affirming along with Christ that my life is not about victimizing others to my benefit. It's not about my vanity and my building myself up. It is exactly about the rejection of those things. And so as we consider our lives here on this day, when we contemplate the last judgment that will come for every one of us, let us choose to be amongst those who love Christ, who love God, who love others, so that our life is an affirmation and a sharing with others of His life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.